All right. One brief point of introduction to today's class. So generally we've been using as the curriculum and the content of these discussions about the Rambam's introduction to the Yad, the Sefer Oros HaRambam, based on the teachings of Rav Yaakov Weinberg. I just wanted to mention that this morning's class, the launching off point is going to be also from that Sefer, but the rest of the shiur is really something that's my own shiur, so I don't want to blame it on Rabbi Weinberg this morning, so I just wanted to put that in as a little disclaimer, point of order. We're discussing the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh, and basically we've discussed the role of Moshe Rabbeinu, the first stage of the Mesira, of the giving over of the Torah Shebaal Peh, why there is a Torah Shebaal Peh, and how the Torah Shebaal Peh is protected and maintained. So this morning we talk about the stage after Yehoshua. So last week we discussed Yehoshua. So the Rambam writes in the underlined section here. So he wrote in the last thing we saw was that Yehoshua was Mekabel, was the recipient of the Torah Shebaal Peh from Moshe Rabbeinu, and he writes, "Zakenim Rabbam Kiblum Yehoshua." Many Zakenim, there were many elders, many sages who received the tradition from Yehoshua. V'kibel Eli min Zakenim umi Pinchas. And Eli received from the Zakenim and from Pinchas. We'll discuss perhaps a little bit where Pinchas fits in. This is Zakenim and Pinchas. U'Shmuel kibel me Eli u'Beis Dino. And Shmuel received the Mesorah or the mantle of Torah Shebaal Peh from Eli and his Beis Din. Now, if you look on for the rest of the transmission of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam in every generation writes, U Beis Dino. David kibel mi Shmuel Beis Dino, Achia Shalani kibel mi David U Beis Dino, Eliyahu kibel mi Achia Shalani U Beis Dino. Right? So the rest of the Masira of the Torah Shebaal Peh, so the Rambam in every generation mentions the rest of the Masira of the Torah Shebaal Peh, the Rambam mentions the Beis Din in the transmission. However, when it comes to Eli, in Eli's transmission to Shmuel, he does not say that, I'm sorry, in the Zakenim's transmission to Eli, he does not mention that Eli received it from the Zakenim and Pinchas and their Beis Din. Just that he received it from the Zakenim and Pinchas.
Though could the Zakenim be a Beis Din?
They could be, but the Rambam doesn't refer to them that way, and he says that he seems to have referred to Zakenim Rabbim Kibbalim Yehoshua. Seems like it's not necessarily, you know, a Beis Din receiving from Yehoshua, which actually, in a later stage of the transmission, we'll see the Rambam does start including the Beis Din in receiving the Torah Shebaal Peh. I think we touched on that point in a previous year, but either way, but so the Rambam writes that Eli did not receive it from a Beis Din. Eli received it from Zakenim and Pinchas, and then Shmuel received it from Eli and his Beis Din. So Rav Yaakov Weinberg, picking up on this point, so asked, why is it that it seems, it's clear from this Rambam, that until Eli, there was no Beis Din Agadol. There was no Sanhedrin in the Jewish people. There were Mekablim, there were the Chachamim and the leaders of the transmission of Torah Shebaal Peh, but there was no Beis Din Agadol. Then comes along Eli, and Eli is the institution of the Beis Din Agadol of the Sanhedrin. Exactly what happened seems to be that in the time of the Zakenim, in the time of the Shoftim, basically from Yehoshua until Eli, the time in between that is Sefer Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim is the story of the Shvatim as individual Shvatim running themselves. Right, the beginning of Sefer Shoftim, Vayiv Yimei Shvut Shoftim, Yashav Ein of Yaseh, that everybody was basically doing their own thing. Everybody, each Shevet ran itself. Every now and then, some Shvatim, very rare occasions, all of the Shvatim got together for some Tzorech, for some needs, for some war or oppression or whatever it was. But for the most part, the Shvatim were just minding their own business within each Shevet. Each Shevet had its own Beis Din, but there was no unifying command of the of Klal Yisrael. Each Shevet was doing its own thing, and therefore there was no such thing as a Beis Din Gadol. As long as there is no Beis Din that Klal Yisrael as a whole has accepted upon themselves as the authoritative entity ruling over Klal Yisrael, so then there is no Beis Din that has that role. It was only when it came to the time of Eli, and the Medrash says that Elkanah convinced basically everyone to come to the Mishkan in the time of Eli to bring Korbanos there and to learn Torah from Eli. It was only in the time of Eli that there became a Beis Din which was responsible for teaching all of the Jewish people, and therefore it's only when it came to the Beis Din of Eli, that had the din of a Beis Din of Gadol, a din of a central Beis Din in Klal Yisrael, because all of Klal Yisrael was coming and acknowledging Eli and his Beis Din as the authority, and therefore they had the din of a Beis Din of Gadol, of a Sanhedrin of Gadol, which we'll touch briefly in a moment on exactly what that role was, of what the significance of that was. We mentioned it before, but just to re-mention it for a moment, but just before we get there, Weinberg suggested that this is really the reason why the story of Eli is included in Sefer Shmuel. That one might have understood that Eli is in Sefer Shmuel because Eli is just, you know, it's kind of an important prereq to understanding the story of Shmuel. So Eli got included kind of agav grara in Sefer Shmuel. Rav Weinberg suggested that Sefer Shoftim is one theme, and Sefer Shmuel is one theme, and maybe we'll talk about later how Sefer Malachim is really one thing. But the Sefer of Sefer Shoftim is the story of Klal Yisrael in the time when each Shevet, and when they were ruled by Shoftim, they were ruled by individual groups that were unaffiliated groups that were for each Shevet. There was no unifying rule of Klal Yisrael, and the story of Sefer Shmuel is the story of Klal Yisrael while under the rulership of one central body, of the rulership under the guidance of the Beis Din Gadol, and that started with Eli. And in the days of Eli is why the story of Sefer Shmuel starts with Elkanah, because Elkanah was the one who unified the Jewish people to kind of submit themselves to acknowledge the authority of the Beis Din of Eli, and therefore that's the nature, that's the common thread of Sefer Shmuel is that theme of having a Beis Din of Gadol. So just very briefly to recap, we mentioned before what the major nafkamina, the major ramification of a Beis Din of Gadol, is that Beis Din Gadol has a specific list of halachos about their ability, first of all, to impose binding halachos on Klal Yisrael that everyone is responsible for learning and teaching. That the Rambam explains that there is something called Torah Shebaal Peh, which is different than Gemara. Torah Shebaal Peh is something that everyone is obligated to know, as opposed to Gemara can still be halachos, but not things that everyone is required to know, not things that become canonized into the required body of Jewish knowledge. Sanhedrin had the ability to add on to Torah Shebaal Peh, and a regular Beis Din did not.
So wait a minute.
Yeah.
If the Gemara says this is halakha, how is it that people don't have to know that halakha? Is it they don't need to know the reasoning behind the Gemara, but they still have to know that specific halakha and how it impacts their life?
What do you mean?
So you said the Gemara hasn't been added to the canon of...
When I say Gemara, I do not mean what we call the Talmud.
Okay.
Well, Gemara, the Sefer, the book that we call Gemara, includes what the Rambam calls both Gemara and Torah Shebaal Peh.
So then what
is Gemara is those aspects of the non-written Torah which are not, I guess to sum it up in one sentence is going to be difficult, but basically that the Sanhedrin had the ability, what the Sanhedrin or what the Beis Din HaGadol, perhaps specifically the Nasi of the Beis Din HaGadol, what he taught as this is the Masorah, that is something which is Torah Shebaal Peh, which every person is responsible to know. And a person, in terms of your mitzvah to learn Torah, includes knowing all of that information. When it came to, you have a shaila and you need the answer, so you might get an answer from the Beis Din. Are you obligated to now memorize that answer and teach it and learn it and know it? Not necessarily. You have to know it as a practical matter because you're obligated to follow the psak of Beis Din, but that doesn't become part of the masorah of Torah Shebaal Peh. Alright, that is just a brief recap. But I wanted to discuss today this idea that the din of Sanhedrin HaGadol is only be when you have the entirety of Klal Yisrael, when it's the entire Jewish people unified under the Beis Din, that's when there's a din of Beis Din HaGadol. And I wanted to kind of talk about this idea of the Beis Din HaGadol as being only a body which exists as a unit of the representatives of the entire Jewish people. So this is, the next page is actually later in the Rambam Sakdama. Eventually we'll get up to this to discuss it in and of itself, but I just wanted to see it for our purposes this morning. The Rambam is explaining that at the end of the time of the Talmud, that the Jewish communities began to spread out, and Ravina and Ravashi, they were the end of the Talmud, and their teachings were the last teachings before the Jewish people spread out throughout the world, and they're too distant to get together. And the Rambam writes, "V'kol Beis Din she'amar achar Talmud, any Beis Din which gets up after the closing of the Talmud, v'kol Medina Medina." The Gazar Ohitzkin Ohinig with name in Yinaso, and they make a decree or an enactment or some minhag for their area, for their province or country, or with the name Medinos, or for a group of countries, Lo Pashtu Masa of the whole Israel. Their actions, their decisions did not spread out among the entire Jewish people. Mipnei Rochak Moshe Sehem, the Shibush Adrachim, because of the distance and the difficulty of traveling. The Hayos Beis Din Shel Osa Medina Yechidim, since the Beis Din of every Medina, of every country, are individuals, who Beis Din HaGadol Shel Shivim Batel Mikam Hashanim, and the Beis Din HaGadol of the 70 Zakenim is gone. Kodem Chibar Talmud. It was already eliminated before the Talmud was actually compiled, so therefore their decrees are only for their region. Lafika, therefore, ain kovin anshe medina zu linhog minhog medina achas. You cannot force one country, one region, one province to act in accordance with the decrees of another one. The ain omer lebeis din zeh. You do not tell one Beis Din to make the Gzeira that another Beis Din, they made this Beis Din over here in Spain, so you should do the same thing in Poland. You can't say, so you don't tell one Beis Din, well, they made this decision over there, that's their decision over there. Skipping a paragraph, Vidvarim Halalu, these points, Bedinim Gzeira Zekutamas Benhagos Shinishanshu Achar Chibra Talmud. This is all true in terms of the Xeros and the Takanos that were made after the Talmud was compiled. Aval kol hadvarim shebetalmud haBavli, everything which is in the Talmud Bavli, chayavim kol beis Yisrael aleches b'hem. All of Klal Yisrael has to follow. V'kofen kol ir v'ir v'kol medina medina, lino v'kol menhagos, shenad v'chayim shebetalmud. And you force every community to follow the Xeros and the Anagos that are in the Talmud, the Ligzor Xeros and the Lachas Betachonosam, and to go there, the same Xeros that they made, and to follow their enactments. Why? Ha'il v'chol osan adzvarim sheba Talmud, all of the things that are in the Gemara, Hiskimu Aleim Kol Yisrael. The entirety of the Jewish people agreed upon them, accepted them. V'osam ha'chachamim she'iskinu, o she'gazru, o she'nihigu, o she'danu din, v'lam du she'mishpat kacho. All of these halachos that they were decreed, all of those chachamim, hein kol chachme Yisrael o ruban. Those are all of the chachamim of Kol Yisrael, or at least the majority of them. V'heim she'shamu ha'gabal b'ikar yitara kula, ish mi pi ish ad Moshe. They are the ones who received the Masorah, meaning you had a group of all of the Chachamim, who are the leaders of the Jewish people, all of them were together in making these decrees. So the Rambam in explaining what is the difference between during the Talmud and the post-Talmudic system of Halakha, the Rambam explains, and it's kind of like this. We have a very well-founded system in the Torah for the authority of Beis Din, of the authority of Beis Din, right? The Torah pretty much says explicitly, when you have a question, the Alisa Malamakum, Asher Nivchar Lishkon Shmo Sham, and you'll go to the Shofet, and the Asher Yeh Bayamin Haheim, you'll go to the Beis Din that sits in the base of Megdash, and you'll ask them, right? Ki Yivim Mimcha Davar, being Dam Ladam, being Din Ladin, right? The Torah is pretty explicit that when you have these questions that you don't have an answer to, you'll go out to Beis Din Gadol in Yerushalayim, and you'll ask them, and they'll answer, and below Sasra, Mikol Sharyukha, Yaminu Smol, and don't veer off from what they teach you. The Torah vests the authority of espousing and dispensing halacha to the Beis Din Gadol. After you no longer have a Beis Din Gadol, a Yoshev Velishkas Gazis, you no longer have a Sanhedrin sitting in the entrance to the Beis Migdash in Yerushalayim, so where does the authority of Chazal come from at that point? And the Rambam, and we'll see in a minute that I think we'll corroborate this point in the Rambam, the Rambam seems to understand the following. That why is it that there were 70 Chachamim, plus a Nasi, 71 in total, who sat in the Lishkas Gazis, who made decisions which were binding? What was the authority of that body? Why did that body have the ability to make Zeros, which were binding on all of Klal Yisrael? Because that body was representative of the Chachamim of all of Klal Yisrael. It is impractical to have a direct democracy of all of the Chachamim, to have in every decision and every question that came up, to have all of the Chachamim and Klal Yisrael come and weigh in their decision. So the Torah gave the central authority of a representative body of all of Klal Yisrael. There's an interesting halakha that ideally Sanhedrin is meant to be composed of Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim. That doesn't have to be. If they don't have Kohanim, they can still have a Beis Din. But the mitzvah lechatchila is that the Sanhedrin should consist of Kohanim, Leviim, and Yisraelim, because the Sanhedrin is meant to be a microcosm of the Chachamim of the entire Jewish people, a representative body of all of the Chachamim of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, they make decisions which are binding because they have the authority of all of Klal Yisrael. If you don't have a Sanhedrin, so where do you find the authority of the Sanhedrin? In all of Klal Yisrael. The Sanhedrin only has its authority as being a representative body of the Chachamim of all the Jewish people. But in lieu of the Sanhedrin, if you have a consensus of the Chachamim of all of Klal Yisrael, so you have the same authority as the Sanhedrin. And therefore the Rambam writes, as long as it was before the Chasima of the Talmud, when you had all of the Chachamim getting together, and all of the decisions that were made in the Gemara were a consensus of the discussion of all of the Chachamim, so that is the same authority as the Sanhedrin itself, because it's really the other way around. The Sanhedrin had its authority as representatives of all of Klal Yisrael. But if you have all of Klal Yisrael, so then that's at least as good.
But how did they do it when the groups of the Jewish people were in two different locations? Because you had a big group in Yerushalayim in Israel and a big group in Israel.
So it's a good question. There's two parts to answering that question. Part one is that there you find throughout the Talmud that there was constant back and forth between the two. The second thing is that the Rambam writes that the overwhelming majority of the Chachamim is enough. We have a rule, Rubo Kekulo, if you have the majority, you know, a significant majority is as good as having everything. And for most of the time of the Amoraim, there was the overwhelming majority of Torah was in Babel. So it's possible that they could have, I don't know the numbers, I don't know the population surveys, but it's possible that for most of the time of post the Mishnah, certainly post the generation of Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, that the overwhelming majority of the Chachamim of Klal Yisrael were in Babel, and perhaps that itself was enough.
So then does the Talmud Yerushalmi and Talmud Babel always agree with each other?
They do not always agree with each other, and that's why we follow Talmud Babel over Talmud Yerushalmi. Right, that we, if there's something which is not discussed in the Babli, then we'll follow the Yerushalmi. But if there's a machlokus between the Babli and the Yerushalmi, or even an indication of something that the Babli didn't agree with in Yerushalmi, we follow the Babli. You turn the page, it's a famous controversy, not really a controversy, it was a famous event that happened in the 16th century, when the Chachamim of Tzfas attempted to reinstitute Smicha. Smicha was Moshe received the Torah from Hashem himself. Moshe gave Smicha to Yehoshua and to the Zakenim. And from then on, there was a chain of halachic responsibility transmitted through a specific position. Someone who had smicha, which is not what we have today, when a rabbi, you know, has learned parts of Yoredeya, now we say a smicha is a piece of paper that says that that his yeshiva, you know, is confident in him. Smicha was that a person was judged by his Rebbe to have authority in the entirety of the Torah. And a person who had smicha could give smicha. And at a certain point, the chain of smicha was lost, really already in the time of the early Amoraim, if not maybe even in the time of the Kanaim, the chain of smicha was lost. And so now, if there's no one to give smicha, so the question is, where is smicha going to come back from? And there was a controversy or a dispute based on the Rambam that we're about to see, when the Chachamim of Tzfas wanted to reinstitute smicha. And we'll see the Rambam here. The Rambam writes, Nirin li hadvarim, to me it seems, shem hiskimu kol ha-chachamim shev Eretz Yisrael limnos dayanim, if all of the Chachamim in Eretz Yisrael decide to appoint judges, the lismoch osan, and to give them smicha, hare elu smuchim, then those Dayanim have the din, the status of being smuchim, of having smicha. Vayeshlan ladun dine knasos, and they are allowed to judge the halakos of knasos. Vayeshlan lismoch, and they could seemingly, if they were in the proper position, administer the punishments that Beis Din is able to administer. Those are things which are reserved that only smuchim are able to judge those kinds of cases. Says the Rambam, if all of the Chachamim Eretz Yisrael would give smicha to a certain individual, he would be a samach. He would now have smicha, and he could now do all the things that are halachically only allowed by someone with smicha. And he would have the ability to give smicha to others. Im kein, lama hayu Chachamim mitzdarin al smicha? If so, why were the Chachamim so worried about the loss of the chain of smicha? You find in the Talmud stories where certain of the Tanayim were moser nefesh, literally died, gave up their lives in order to give smicha to others. You have a story with Rebbe Yehoshua, I think it was, who gave smicha to five of his students on pain of death. The Romans came and they killed him for it. But it was so important to continue the chain of smicha that they were moser nefesh to continue it. So why were the Chachamim so concerned about it? You could, you know, let it go and we'll just, you know, revive it. So why the Chachamim so mitzdar? Kedesh lo yivatlo dine knasos miyisrael. Why? Lafisha Yisrael mifuzarin, because the Jews are spread out. V'efshar shiyaskimu kulam. And it's going to be impossible to get agreement of everyone on one person, right? Two Jews, three opinions. V'im hayasham samach mipi samach. If there would be a samach, if there was one person with smicha, ain't no tzarech daskulon. He doesn't need everyone else's agreement. Ela dan dine knasos lakol. He can be dan dine knasos on his own. Shari nismach mipi bezin. As long as he has smicha, so he's able to, and he can continue on his own the chain of smicha, because if you have smicha, you don't need agreement of other people to give smicha to others. Someone who has smicha can issue smicha because he himself has smicha. However, in order to reinstate the chain of smicha, if there's no one left who has smicha, you're going to have this process, the Rambam says, of getting the agreement of all of the Jewish people. And the Rambam says, Radavar Tzar Hachreya, and he says, the Rambam here says, he's not so ready to paskin this, he's not so ready, he says, this still needs to be decided. But the Rambam says, Nirin li hadvarim, he says, to me it seems that this is the way that you could reinstitute smicha. The Rambam in the Perush Mishnayos really says that the reason he's saying this is because we know, we have a tradition that the chain of smicha is going to come back before Mashiach comes. He says, now that we don't have any smuchin, where is the chain of smicha going to come from? He says, there must be some way to reinstitute it built into the system. Now, there were those who disagreed with the Rambam and said, you know where smicha is going to come from? Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come back before Mashiach, and Eliyahu HaNavi himself has smicha, and he'll reinstitute the chain of smicha. But the Rambam is answering that question. The Rambam says that no, the way smicha is going to be reinstituted is by consensus of the Jewish people giving smicha to one person. And this was, there was an attempt to do this in the 1500s. The Chachamim of Tzfat, including the Beis Yosef, wanted to give smicha to Mahari Bei Rav, to the Rebbe of the Beis Yosef, to the Gadol in Tzfat at the time, who was possibly the Gadol Adar, and they wanted to give him smicha, and they gave him smicha, actually. But the Chacham in Yerushalayim, I don't remember off the top of my head, something with the Gimel, that he disagreed. He dissented, he was not maskim to it, not because he didn't like the Mahari Bei Rav, but because he felt that this was not the proper thing to do, and he felt they didn't have the agreement of all of the Chacham and Eretz Yisrael, and even if you did, that the Rambam is not so... The Rambam himself leaves it as Sar Achreya, and basically the whole thing fell apart because they lost the agreement of all of the Chachamim. But there was an attempt to do such a thing. Seemingly, this idea of the Rambam is coming. The Rambam says Nirin li hadvarim. To me, it seems, doesn't explain anything about where he got this from. I believe that the Rambam is coming from the same point that we're talking about. The Rambam understands that the Sanhedrin, the role of Sanhedrin is that the power of Sanhedrin is given to them. It comes from all of Klal Yisrael. They are representatives of all of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, if you are a part of Sanhedrin, you have that power vested in you by the entire Jewish people to extend that to smicha and dine knatos and all of these things. If you don't have a group of individuals who have the ability to be those representatives, so now who has that power? The entire Jewish people, all of the Chachamim and all of Klal Yisrael, Sanhedrin was representative of them. So if you have the entire body of the Chachamim, of all of Klal Yisrael, they're at least as good as the Sanhedrin. And therefore they could give smicha the same way that members of the Sanhedrin themselves could give smicha. If the entire Jewish people have a consensus on one person to give him smicha, they have the koach of the Sanhedrin. They have the Sanhedrin gets their power from them. So they have the ability to reinstitute the chain of smicha for the same reason, because the Sanhedrin is representative of the entire Jewish people. That is the role of Sanhedrin, is to be the unifying body of all of Klal Yisrael. And I think this idea is not just in a halachic, purely technical sense, that the Chachamim have this role, but the Chachamim really represent the unity of Klal Yisrael, not just in terms of Paskin and Halacha, but in terms of the ultimate Achdus of Klal Yisrael, which is being Kishem She'in B'Libcha Ela Echad, Kishem She'Libcha Echad L'Avinu Shebashamayim, Kach In B'Libinu Ela Echad, that, like the Shvatim said to Yaakov, just as your heart is Echad to Hashem, so too the heart of Klal Yisrael, of all of the Shvatim, is only Echad. That the Sanhedrin had that job of maintaining that ultimate Echad, that ultimate unity of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Megillah goes through the order of Shemoneh Esrei, why Shemoneh Esrei was set up in order that it does, and goes through each bracha, the chronology. Some of them are based off of things that we find in Sukkim. But by the time you get to around the 11th bracha of Shemona Esrei, it starts going in a chronological order based on what's going to be, I don't know, talk historically if it's in the future, but what's going to be in the last level in the times of the Geula. And the Gemara says that after Birkas Hashanim is where you have the bracha of Kibbutz Galios, because Kibbutz Galios is going to happen in a time of fruitfulness. And then it says, V'kevinsh and iskantsu Galios, this is Megillah Yud Zayinam and Beis, once the exiles are ingathered, Nasa Din Barashayim, then judgment will be executed against the Rashayim. Shenemar Vashiva Yadai Alecha, the Etzer Kaborsi Yayach, I will return my hand over you and I will refine the impurities that you have. Uksiv Vashiva Shoftai Kivar Yishona. And it says, and I will return your Shoftim, your judges, as they were originally. So the role of, once there is Kibbutz Galus, once the Jewish people have reunited, once they come back together, then you have this role of the Nasa Din Barashah, and you have the Shoftim come back, the judges, which is the Sanhedrin, comes back and executes the Din against the Rishayim. If you look, the Rambam actually titles Hilchos Sanhedrin, is not called Hilchos Sanhedrin, it's called Hilchos Sanhedrin V'ha'onshim HaMesurim Lahem. It's called the laws of the Sanhedrin and the punishments which they are entrusted with which they are authorized. The role of the Sanhedrin was the halachic process of the Jewish people, the body of halacha, and the nature and the process of halacha was entrusted to them, and also the carrying out of din, the idea of executing judgment against Rishayim, of punishing those who deserve to be punished. That was the other essential role of Beis Din. How do they fit together? Why is that the essential role of Beis Din? So there's a famous Rambam, maybe you've probably heard of it before, but if you look in the next, is the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin. The Rambam is discussing that there is it is valid if a person is mechuyav, is obligated to give a get to his wife, and he's refusing from giving it. So the halacha is that you can beat him. Kofin oso acho merotani. You beat him until he says, okay, I really do want to give the get. Right? And once he says rotani, so now it's a get given by his will, and that's a kosher get. So the Rambam is addressing obvious question, that it's clear to everyone present that that is not really what he wants to do. He's doing it because you're beating him. Right? So the Rambam says, the lama lo batal get zeh. Why is this get not invalid? Shaharei hu anus. Bein biyat akum, bein biyat yisrael. Because this guy is being forced. Whether he's being forced by Jews or non-Jews, he's being forced. She'ein, so the Rambam says, why is it not batal? She'ein olim anus. Elo amisha nilchatz menindchak lasos davar. She'eino mechuyiv bo min haTorah. You only apply this rule of anus, of being forced, when somebody is doing something that they are not obligated to do from the Torah. Kigon misha huka achemacha, when you hit someone until they agree to sell something to you. Oh, achenasan, or until he agrees to give something to you. So they will say that that kinyan is not a real kinyan because he was forced into it. Amisha takfo yitzur hara. Someone who is yitzur hara has gotten control of him. Levat el mitzvah, to nullify a mitzvah. O lasos aveira, or to do an aveira. Vehuka ad she'asa davar shechayev lasoso, and you hit him until he does whatever it is that he's obligated to do. O ad she'nisrachik min davar asher lasoso, or until he stops doing whatever it is that he's not supposed to be doing. Ein ze onas mimenu, this is not that something that is being forced upon him. Elohu onas atmo bedasara bedaydora, really the onas is in the opposite direction. He wants to do the Ratzon HaTorah. He wants to follow the mitzvah. He wants to do what he's mechuyev to do. But his Yetzer Hara is forcing him, is taking control of him, and is forcing him to go in the opposite direction. Lepika zesh einu rotza lagaresh. This guy does not want to give the get. Me'achashu rotza lios miYisrael. He wants to be a member of Klal Yisrael. The rotza lulasos kol mitzvos. And he wants to keep all of the mitzvos. Ulehisrachek min adeiros. And to stay away from adeiros. The Yetzer Hara. It's just that his Yetzer Hara has gotten a hold of him. V'kevan shehuka achatashash yitzro. Since you have hit him, until basically you have provided the counterbalance. On the one hand, you've got his, the yetzer hara providing all of this incentive. What are the incentives? All of the physical pleasure and whatever ideas are in his head of why this is going to be such a good thing. That's the onis that he has, which is forcing him to go against what he really wants to do. You balance that out by basically providing enough pain that the onus of his yetzer is no longer worth it. Came to Gash Tazer Yitzro, the Amar Rotzani, and now he says that he wants to do it. Kvar Geirash Mitlaritzono. Now he's really, what you're really doing is you are balancing things out to the point when you have enabled him to make the decision, which is what he really wants to do. You have balanced out the draw of the Yetzirah to the point where you've enabled to let out the Yetzir that he really has, the Ratzon that he really has, which is that he wants to keep the Torah and he wants to do the mitzvahs. You've enabled him to act on that and to activate that. And the Rambam says it's not just Allah and Hilchos Gerushin. It might be that the application is the Hilchos Gerushin application. But the Rambam says that this is the case in Levatel any mitzvah or Lassos to do any Aveira. When a person is coming to be Levatel any mitzvah or coming to nullify any Aveira, it's because their true Ratzon is being overshadowed, is being overtaken, is being held captive by their Yetzirah. And the role of the Sanhedrin, the reason that the onshim hamesurim lahem, the reason that the ability to punish is given to, is one of the essential roles of the Sanhedrin, is because the essential role of the Sanhedrin is to maintain the achdus, is to maintain the echad of Klal Yisrael, and that exists. Their authority is vested by the achdus of Klal Yisrael, by the unity of Klal Yisrael, and maintaining the ultimate source of that achdus, which is being echad la'avihem shebashamayim, which is being singularly devoted and dedicated to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that is the role of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin's job is to maintain that achdus, is to maintain that effort, that Klal Yisrael is focused and is dedicated singularly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's essential to what Sanhedrin is about. The Sanhedrin is all about Klal Yisrael being echad. The power of Sanhedrin comes from Klal Yisrael being echad. It's only if you have all of when you have a Beis and a Gadol in Yerushalayim, so the Torah gives them the authority as a representative body of all of Klal Yisrael. Lacking the Sanhedrin, where do you find the authority of that body? In all of Klal Yisrael. And if all of Klal Yisrael gets together and they appoint they make a gzeira, that's a gzeira of all of Klal Yisrael, has the same authority as the Sanhedrin does. And if all of Klal Yisrael get together and give smicha, that has the same authority as a samach giving smicha, because that authority is the authority of all of Klal Yisrael. That was the position of the Beis and the Gadol, was a representative body of all of Klal Yisrael. And that, therefore, their mission was, their job and their mandate was to maintain the achdus of all of Klal Yisrael, to keep that all of Klal Yisrael are echad la'avihem shebashamayim. And therefore, their role was to get that everyone is, that if there's something detracting from that dedication to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that they're involved in making sure that everyone is free to have, from their Yetzirah, to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu completely. And that was the ultimate job of Sanhedrin, is the echad of Klal Yisrael. Therefore, the Gemara Megillah says that it's once you have kibbutz galuyos, once Klal Yisrael gets back together, and if you look at the bracha in Shmona Esrei of kibbutz galuyos, right, it's v'kabetzenu yachad me'arba kantos ha'aretz. Once the Jewish people come yachad, come together from all over the world, so then you'll have, that leads into the Hashiva Shoftenu, that leads into the reinstitution of Sanhedrin, which leads to, the Maran Megillah says, is which leads to the elimination of Ra, which leads to the elimination of the Rishayim, or the sublimination of the Rishayim, because it's once you have the Klal Yisrael come together, then they're able to institute that authority of Sanhedrin. And once you have that authority of Sanhedrin, they have the ability to enforce that achdus of Klal Yisrael. And I think, just a last point, interesting shot, the pasuk that we say every morning and every evening, Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu, Shem Echad, that we announce the echad of Klal Yisrael, the beginning of that pasuk Generally translated as "Listen, Israel, hear, O Israel," whatever the translation that you normally find is. Is that an essential part of the meaning of that pasuk? Or is that just, you know, an introduction? I have an announcement to make, Bnei Yisrael, listen up. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So what's the pasuk coming to say? Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Just, we got to get everyone's attention first. So as a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul is gathering the Jewish people to do battle with Amalek, which, not the discussion now, but the battle with Amalek, specifically, Amalek represents, Safek represents, that there's not just Echad, that there's something else in the world other than the rulership of Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it's the opposite, it's the gathering of the Jewish people, that Echad, which is necessary to combat Amalek, it says, Vayishama Sha'ol Esa'am, that Sha'ol gathered in the nation. The word it says is Vayishama. We're showing you that word Shin Mem Ayin, that same word, Shema Yisrael, Vayishama Sha'ol Esa'am, gathered in the nation. Shema Yisrael means gather together, Kal Yisrael. The Jewish people gather together, unite. And it's only with that Shema Yisrael, with the unifying of Kal Yisrael, coming together, that then you can have Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. It's only because we have the Echad of Kal Yisrael that then you can have that declaration of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, that absolute acknowledgement of the Echad of the Kadosh Baruch Hu, which is the source of the ultimate Achdus, the ultimate unity of the Jewish people. And that is the role of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is created through the Echad of Kal Yisrael and is in charge of enforcing or maintaining the Echad of the Kadosh Baruch Hu through the Jewish people. And that's the reason why Sanhedrin, as the Rambam here indicates, only exists once there is a central body that all of Kal Yisrael has accepted upon themselves. It's only then that you have a Beis Din HaGadol in the Masorah of Teresh Baal Peh. And Shmuel is the first to receive the Masorah from a Beis Din, because it wasn't until the Jewish people united under Eli that, even though there were Jewish courts, they did not have a din of a Beis Din until they united, until there was an Achdus of the Jewish people under one central body in the Beis Din of Eli, that you had a Beis Din HaGadol, which had the din of a Sanhedrin. All right.